Welcome to the Cleansing Word Podcast with Pastor Kevin of Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa. Join us as we go through the Bible as we encourage your walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa, visit us at cclv.org and please share and subscribe to this podcast. Now, let's hear a message from God's Word.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christos es Señor. Today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I titled this, Treasure in Earthen Vessels. We got three sections, 1 through 6, and that's titled this, Light of the Gospel. And then 7 through 15, Earthen Vessels. And lastly, 16 through 18, Don't Lose Heart. So we start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So we're going to see that not lose heart later on once again, but we have it referenced here in the beginning of this chapter. So that therefore, since we have this ministry, you know, everyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ is a minister of Jesus Christ. We are his ambassadors. We are to live out the gospel, live out our life in and through Jesus Christ, and that we should be those ministers, ministers of reconciliation to one another and to those who are outside the faith, that we could, that we could present the one who can save them. Not that we can save, but only through Jesus Christ, his work, that we can present, that we can love, that we can minister to others and present Jesus to them, that they too can have that life-saving faith. And it says, as we have received mercy, so as we receive this great gift, this great mercy from God, we should be ministering to others in the same way that we have been ministered to. And that we don't lose heart within this. And we'll get to this later, but it can be easy to lose heart. We can get distracted. We can get caught up in the cares and the tribulations of this world that come upon us. But in Christ, he has us in the palm of his hand. He has us fully, that we should not lose heart, that we should even cling to him, closer to him, as things get difficult in this world. And not only losing heart from that, but in verse 2 it says, But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So I look at this as, and I phrase this as, living above reproach. That we are living in the light of our faith, in the light of our Lord, that we have put the old things away, renounced the things of shame, not using God or God's word for our own selfishness or benefit or fame. I mean, we can just think of these words that he writes here. Not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Do we see that in our world today? Do we see that from preachers who claim to be ministers of the gospel? We're not to walk in those ways, but we're to walk in the truth of God's word, presenting the truth of God's word, as he says here, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our audience is the Lord in all of our life. Whether we're preaching to 20, to 3,000, to one, our audience is the Lord. And that as we live our life in and through God, we should always have that in our mind, that we are to be pleasing to the Lord, that we are to honor the Lord, that we are to bring glory to the Lord in all that we do, and how we present God's word, how we handle the very truth of God, and as we present it to others. Not being in craftiness, but in the truth, giving all glory to God, giving it over to the Lord, and allowing his word, his spirit, to work not only in our lives, but in the lives of those that we are loving, that we are presenting God's word to. And then he continues, but even, in verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So the light of the gospel, there is a spiritual blindness that seems to be growing even darker. When light shines, darkness flees. But people can be so hardened against it that they flee from the light. That they don't see the light as a beacon of hope, but they rebel against it. They wish to live in that darkness. But we pray that their eyes would be open, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would penetrate their heart, the light of the gospel would illuminate them, that they would realize that the only hope, the only true hope, is in Jesus Christ. For we have this light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For what do we preach? We don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We're here to serve. We're here to minister. A minister shouldn't be one who is above, who is exalted, but one who serves, one who presents the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who serves others in the love of Jesus Christ. We are to be that bondservant, that chosen. It's a choice. Being a bondservant is a choice. that one makes to serve a master, to serve others. If we are in Christ, we are bondservants of Jesus Christ. We have chosen to serve our Lord Jesus and to serve others in his name. For it is, in verse 6, for it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 8:12 tells us this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in John 9:5, he tells us, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. In John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Matthew 5:13-16 tells us, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled under feet by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to be the light, as Jesus is the light. We are to be the light of Christ, allowing, as we'll get into later, allowing this broken vessel, these broken vessels, to allow the light of Christ to shine through us. Be that light of Christ. Be the light of the gospel to others. Verses 7 through 15, we have these treasures in earthen vessels. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. I like throughout Paul's writings in the New Testament that he deflects from himself and he puts it to God. He puts the glory to God. As we talked about the last time I preached, he had that reputation. Paul had a solid reputation, a solid resume, but he cast that all aside for Christ, that Christ might be known and people saved by the power of Jesus. We are this treasure in earthen vessels that is excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's God in us. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's his power. Do we feel that power? Do we go to God and his power? Do we seek it in our life? Do we ask him to fill us, the overflowing, that we're just living in and through him each and every day? We have this treasure. Our treasure is the Lord. And he is in us as we are believers in him. We have to remember that. We have to rely on that, because as we go on here in verse 8, he talks about the tough things. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Why? Because of the power of God. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because of the power of God. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. But God, right? It's because of the power of God. It's because of Jesus Christ that we can have life just come crushing down on us. But we can stand on the rock. We can stand in faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So that death is working in us, but life in you. It talks to me about self-sacrifice, that we're putting God first, others before ourselves, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our love for God, His love for us, that we can give that love to others in ministry, in service, giving them the gospel and loving them as we can. Earthen vessels, you know, we are this earthen vessels. We're this clay of the potter. Growing up, my dad had was into antiques. He would even go and find garbage dumps, old garbage dumps, farmers' fields, and he would go and dig and find items. I was kind of towards the end of that season in his life because I was the youngest. And my oldest brother is 14 years older than me. So I came later, 7 years later than the four of my siblings. But I remember I would go with him. I went with him a couple of times, not too many times. And I would find like milk bottles and go to the flea market. He would go to the flea market and buy and sell stuff. And I would go and sell my milk bottles at the flea market. I mean, they were the old ones, not the... They were pretty old. But we had pottery around the house. We had jugs, pretty good-sized jugs. And we had butter churn. I remember the butter churn pretty specifically. It was a nice piece. We had a bunch of nice pieces in the house of these old... earthen vessels, these potteries, these jugs, and butter churns, and pitchers, and ink, some pottery ink wells. We had glass ink wells too, but and some of them were what's called inked, so they decorated them. They had a decorative letter, or I can't remember if it was sometimes numbers, if I'm trying to remember. But definitely letters. I mean, it wasn't, sometimes there were stamps on them, but some of them were inked, and those were more valuable because they had that decoration, but some others were just plain. But many, as you would notice, would know, if you're looking through, you know, a garbage dump, a lot of them would have pieces broken, handle, you know, the jugs minus the handle or chips here and there. You know, you didn't handle the jugs much because you didn't want to chip them. You didn't want to do anything to them. But God sees us, you know, as having that we're earthen vessels. We're, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, we're made from dust, the dust will go. But God can do amazing things, just like a potter can make something really nice out of a lump of clay. God is forming us and making us. Even though we're broken, God is forming us and making us into His image. Isaiah 29:15-16 tells us, "Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, 'Who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall they say to the thing that made him, who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed to him who formed it say, he has no understanding?'" Are we so arrogant that we talk back to God and say, "Who are you in our life? Yet you're the one that formed us?" But that's what we just talked about in that first section in regards to the light of the gospel. We have those who minds the God of this age is blinded, who don't believe, that they're veiled, and they're handling the word of God in craftiness. But for us, Isaiah 64:8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." We're God's work. Now, Psalm 40 talks about that He lifts us up by the miry clay. It is His work in us. He's the potter. Allow Him to form us. Allow Him to mold us into His image. And then Romans 9:18-23 tells us, "Therefore He has mercy on whom He wills, and whom He wills He hardens. You will say to me then, 'Why does He still find fault? For who has resisted His will?' But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to Him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump, to make one vessel of honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory and the vessels of mercy, which He has prepared beforehand for glory?" It's all in God's plan. It's all in His timing. Yet we wonder, like, why does God allow this evil to persist in this world? Well, we just heard. What if God, wanting to show His wrath, to make His power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? We've seen this in Scripture with the Israelites. 400 years, right? They were slaves in Egypt. He had long suffering with that. But in the end, what did He show? He showed His power. Through the plagues, He showed His power. Through His parting of the Red Sea. We have our own perspective. We need to look at life through God's perspective. We have to look through the lens of His Word, of His Holy Spirit, that this world is winding down, right? We see the prophecies. We see the beginnings of the birth pangs, of the rumblings, of the events that are described in Scripture. We see that before our eyes. And every generation should be looking up and looking for the Lord's soon return. That we see that our Lord is long-suffering. And it does give opportunity, though. We should look at it in this perspective. It gives opportunity for those who are not saved to hear the gospel and to have that choice to follow Christ or not. To have their eyes unveiled and to see the light of Christ. Continuing in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke," from Psalm 116:10, "we also believe and therefore speak." So it's that natural progression. We come to faith, we hear the gospel, and we should speak it. We should be those ministers of the gospel to the others, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise up with Jesus and will present us with you. Will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. That's the finish line. That's the end line that we are all looking forward to. Knowing that he who raised Jesus up will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. What a glorious day that'll be when we are all in the presence of the Lord together and we get to see all those who have gone before us and we get to be reunited and to be with all the believers for all eternity. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Again, he's talking about that service that he has towards the Corinthians. He's talking about grace that, having spread through many, now replication of faith, discipleship of our faith, that we are growing up one another and those who are new in the faith, that we are spreading the gospel, we're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy and love, so that thanksgiving is abounding to the glory of God, remembering that it's all for his glory, that it's all for his sake, for he deserves all our praise. He deserves our every moment to be lived out for him. But in this life, we have situations where we go to our to lose heart. You know, we fall back to that at times. But when we're in those times, we need to run to God and not lose heart, as this next section talks about. Our tribulation, though it feels heavy in the moment, is but a blink in the light of Christ and the light of eternity. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. We don't lose heart. Just recently, a few weeks ago, actually, I just wasn't feeling right, feeling good, just having some physical things going on. But I pinpointed it to something, and once I pinpointed it to that, and I gave it over to Christ, I improved. Who has stress in their life? It was stress. You know, as a father, you have, you know, you're taking care of your family, I'm the wage earner, concern for the kids. Now I have a grandkid. And just some other things just going on. There was a physical manifestation of it in my gut. I could feel it right in my gut. And I thanked the Lord because he helped me recognize it, and he helped me cast my cares upon him who cares for me. And I'm better. And we have to remember that. Don't lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's another thing. I mean, John mentioned it, getting older. I'm so old, I'm above 50 now. But, all these things can come at you and distract you from your walk. And we just need to keep every day, just daily, giving this life over to God. Giving our situations, our circumstances, our feelings, our concerns, our cares, just keep giving them over to God. We don't lose heart because we have Christ. In verse 17, for our light affliction, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So just know that whatever we go through in this life, God's in it. He's walking through it. It might not end up as we think or as we pray, but God is in it. He's long-suffering with us. He cares for us. He knows our feelings, our emotions, our concerns, our cares, our situations. We don't need to lose hope because we have the sure hope of Jesus Christ. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, remembering that it is but for that moment, we'll get through it, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, we look to God, our hope, our salvation, our Lord. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This life is but a flash, but eternity is before us. Luke 18, 1 through 8 tells us, then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there is a certain judge in the city who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming to me, she wearies me. So he got tired of her. But if an unrighteous judge, a non-believing judge, would do that, how much more would our Father in heaven do? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust said, and shall not God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, he bears long with them, that long suffering with us? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on this earth? So keep that faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose heart. Cast your cares to the Lord. No, don't lose that heart. Keep active for the Lord. Galatians 6:6-10 tells us, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sows to his flesh, of the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Let us encourage one another in the light of the gospel, that we're sometimes cast down, but we're not unconquered. We are treasures of earthen vessels. That treasure is Jesus Christ in us. That we can not lose heart. That even though tribulation comes in this life, it is but for a moment in the light of eternity. Let us go and remember that that is our destination. Our destination is heaven in eternity, casting our cares upon him in this life, knowing that he is soon to return. He is coming for us. He is coming back for all his church. But as we live this life, let us bring him glory by living out faithfully his gospel, being ministers to others, to the Lord, to each other, and to those outside the faith, that their eyes may be unveiled, and that they too can see the light of Christ, the light of the gospel.